Hey friends, it's Tuesday and we are jumping into what's known as our first pastoral epistle or pastoral letter by presumably Paul here, as he states at the beginning of this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Can you believe that we are less than 3 months from the end of New and 22? I can't hardly believe that. For those of you who started out the year with us, you've come a long way, I hope, with your knowledge of the Bible, with how you process some of the things you read, and maybe some key phrases, verses, words, passages that God has planted in your heart from the last 9+ months. So as we jump into 1 Timothy chapter 1, as I said, it's traditionally thought that this is the same Paul, traditionally, that wrote this, though there is some debate on the authorship at times. Timothy was a young pastor who had traveled extensively with Paul, even to the point of being with Paul during his first Roman imprisonment that we have read about earlier. And Paul thought so much about Timothy that he considered him or called him his co-sender of 6 of the Pauline letters that he wrote to churches, as well as, if you remember last Thursday's reading, he spoke very highly of Timothy to the Philippians. So 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus, which we'll get to those last two a little bit later in the year, are known as the pastoral letters. And they include content that relates to the work of pastors and church leaders. Now, right away here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul makes it clear to Timothy that he thinks it would be good that he stays in Ephesus because there's some things going on in the church, some false doctrines that he needs to take care of. But I want to point you down to 7 verses, starting in verse 12. And I just want to read this to you. And so if you're not driving, maybe you just want to close your eyes and soak this in. This is really good stuff. He says this: I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I don't know if that struck you like it struck me, but the very beginning of it, soon after I started ministry in 2001, I remember coming across this verse, and I think 1 year I called it my verse of the year. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. And we can look at that and say, that's a really good verse for a pastor, that God called you faithful, appointing him to full-time ministry. But that's not what this passage is just alluding to. This is Paul saying, God chose me to do his work. But here's the thing, God chose all of us to do his work. God chose us all to find opportunities to share Jesus's love with the world. And that's one of the biggest things that Christians underestimate is that what God can do through them. If I had to guess, there's a whole lot of people, hundreds even, who are listening to this message today, and you do not believe that God could really use you. You know, I think sometimes it's important that we realize, and we talked a couple days ago about how Paul changed his mind. He changed his way of thinking. Because if I'm honest with you, I can say that I believe that one of the biggest lies for people who really love Jesus that they buy still is that they're not worthy and that God can't use them. And Paul says right here, he says, hey, if you think you were bad, I was the worst. I was so anti-Jesus and that's who I was, but that's not who I am anymore. And I thank God that he has called me worthy. And I want to just tell you that God calls you worthy. And so because he calls you worthy and he's appointed you to his service, are you living a life where you're looking for opportunities to share his love with others? The older I get, the more focused I become on the fact that there are people all around us that don't know the Lord, people all around us that are going to hell. And the more unsettled I become with this. My wife and I recently got away for a week, and we were sitting in our room, and we weren't doing anything. We were reading, I think. And my wife said, "Do you want to go up to the hot tub, and just get away for a little bit?" I said, "Sure." So we went out, and this whole place is crowded with people. And we didn't know any of them. And we walk over to one hot tub at this place, and it was full. There's no way we could have gotten into there. We walked into another area, and there was a hot tub. And my wife and I saw that there was enough room for both of us. And we went over and we sat down. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, my head, I'm not really in a very good place. I'm kind of feeling sorry for myself tonight. I'm kind of down and thinking about some circumstances in our life. And right there, I thought to myself, you know, while we're here, God's got to have some plans. I'm just going to start conversations with these people and maybe it'll lead to something spiritual. And I felt, you know, I need to just find out about these people's lives. And so we started asking questions, and there was two couples to our right. There were two couples to our right, and they all had a strong accent. And I said, "Are you from Louisiana by chance?" And they said, "Well, yeah, how'd y'all know?" And I said, "Well, I can point out a Louisiana accent pretty easily." And I asked one of the guys, I said, "So what do you do for a living?" And he said, I'm a grave digger. I dig places for people to be buried in Louisiana. And I bury people." And I said, "Well, that's interesting, because I bury people too." And he said, "You do?" And I said, "Yeah, but I do it a little differently. I'm a pastor, and I do a lot of funerals and a lot of memorial services." And then there was a guy sitting over to our left that was just listening to what we were talking about. And come to find out, in the course of asking him questions, because we were talking about burial and remains and cremation and all of these things, not from a spiritual standpoint, just talking about them generally. And he said that his wife had died and she was supposed to be with him on that cruise. And he started to get emotional. And these are all strangers, all these people in the hot tub with us. And with each other, they're strangers. And to us, they're strangers. And through God opening that door, we were able to minister to this man who was grieving the loss of his wife, wondering if he was grieving correctly or not. And I told him that I would like to send him a book about grieving. And so I thought that, you know, if he would receive that, that would be great. And so he said, "Yeah, I would love that." And then the other people in the hot tub said, "Well, we've had loss lately too. And would you send us one too?" And I said, "Sure." And so I got back to the church, and Renee sent out to these people and sent a prayer quilt out to this man who had lost his wife. And I wrote this long letter to this guy about trusting in Christ. And I sent a case for faith book as well, and thought, you know, what do I have to lose? This guy needs Jesus. But it's all a matter of deciding that I'm worthy to share God's love. And I didn't preach to this group of people. I told the man, I quoted one verse out of Matthew 5 to him about, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I talked about mourning and the need for mourning, but God brings us healing. And so God opened a door, but it had to start with me realizing that God wanted to use me, because I was pretty focused on myself that day. And so I hope that's encouraging to you, that, and it wasn't because I was a pastor, because, you know, it's not easy for me to share with people, especially to strangers, about faith. But if we have the right heart going into it and say, God, just use me, then he will. So I'm going to read that verse one more time to you. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. God has appointed you. He has considered you faithful, and he will give you strength to do whatever he calls you to do. Will you have the spiritual eyes? Will you have the spiritual ears open to see people in need? And I promise you that God will give you opportunities. Have a great day. I'll be back with you again tomorrow for 1 Timothy chapter 2.